I want you to get your Bibles and go to John's Gospel, chapter 16. This is something, an amazing statement that Jesus made about the advantage we have for having Him come, but then also for having Him go. The Bible says that for the joy set before Jesus, He endured the cross. And Jesus had a joy set before Him that He knew in His mission that He was going to be fully pleasing to the Father and that He was going to eradicate the sin condition for humanity and set captives free. Let me go on record here. Jesus is not just the head of Christianity. He's the Son of God who alone was capable of dying for our sins and accomplishing salvation. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but listen, this is not an establishment of religion. This is a liberation from darkness. He came to seek and save that which is lost. That's good news. But it even gets more elaborate than that. In chapter 16, verse 7, he talks about an additional benefit. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, he's talking here about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. It's not power that emanates from God. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. Now, this has gone throughout the church age, and people understand this technically, but I hope as we marinate in this and as we kind of steep in this and percolate in this, that we're going to get some real enlightenment about the provision of the Holy Spirit or the advantage. You guys like the word advantage? I like upgrade. I like the word advantage. You know, I like being bumped up. Don't you like those kinds of things? It's better. I like promotion and advancement. Advantage is a good word. To have an advantage means to be put in a situation that's beneficial, that's favorable. It's better than it was. It's better than it was. So when Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go, because I'm going to send you the Helper. That right there, you know, what's in a name? The very title of this describes and defines something of God's Holy Spirit. He's a helper. And in fact, let's turn back to John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And in verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Wow. So this is pretty clarifying. Now, the definition for the word helper is from a Greek word which means called alongside to help. I want all the men to raise up your arms like this. Everybody, all the guys, raise up your... You want to know why God hung these guns on your shoulders? To help your wife carry groceries in and open up jars. And I want to tell you right now, one of the most delightful moments in my life that I get to cash in on my push-ups is when Patsy said, will you help me with this? I said, sure. And I'm all at once, I'm 14 and I'm Hercules at the same time. I flex and everything. For this moment, I have abs in my own mind and everything. And I'll take the jar and I'll go. And I'll turn. Go to the drawer, find a butter knife. That's sort of a concession. I hate having to do that. That's like a demotion. And then I'll. And she says, oh, thank you. And when they ask for paper or plastic, I order plastic because I get to show off how many bags I could carry in. And I actually have to admit, I don't love to hear her say, hey, can you guys help me with the groceries? Oh, man. So it's like, yeah. So there's a real attitude. Yeah, we'll help you. So we go out to the car, bag them all up, carry them in. And unfortunately, she follows up with, and will you help me put them away? And it's like, But we all need help. We need help in life. You know, we need assistance. I mean, there's roadside assistance, and they've got these beautiful trucks, and the people will go and help with tires and everything. And there's nothing like having help. Hey, can you help me with this? I mean, we need help in counsel. We need help in prayer. We need help in our marriage relationships. We need help with child rearing. Help is such a beautiful word. You know, John Lennon, 24 years old, wrote, "Help, I need someone. Help, you know, I need someone." And I know that it might have been a romance song, but if you listen to the lyrics, I think that it's like the eternal collective human cry for help from the helper. There's something that God wants to get over to us in these verses. And Jesus is saying, look, it is to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send the helper. And one verse even says another helper. So it implies that God is an ever-present help in the time of need. It implies that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, to help lost souls to come back to a holy God. But then, listen, he sent his Holy Spirit, and this is really what I want to bring on Sunday mornings for a while, so we can be enriched with the awareness of this amazing provision, how great this amazing advantage is of having this helper. God knew our need, our weakness. He sent us a helper with provision so exceedingly abundant and sufficient. That is, it's as though we've hit the mother lode. It's as though we've dug through the, you know, these miners, they go out and they dig through endless, countless tons of dirt and ore. And all of a sudden, they'll cry eureka, and they will hit a mother lode. In gold mining, there are these veins of gold where they hit it and they go after through all the stuff till they find the real prize. And I want to tell you, in life, we run through the challenge and the minutiae and the rubbish and the trials of life and the struggle. But when we peer into these truths and we hear Jesus say, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You guys, it's not an it, it's a him. And this is one of the big clarifiers for the church right now. We need to recognize God, the Holy Spirit, has personhood. And while this is very mysterious, God does bring some clear indications. And I want to show you, number one, he births us into the family of God by the Spirit. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 6, Nicodemus said, man, Jesus, we could tell you're sent from God because of all these miracles. There's just results in your life. And before Jesus could even comment on this, oh, thank you, yeah, yeah, did you hear about so-and-so who got healed or whatever? He said, you must be born again. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So there is a physical birth, but then there is a spiritual birth. Now, how did Jesus come into the human race? Well, remember the angel that visited Mary and said she was blessed among women and she was going to conceive and bear a child and his name would be Jesus? And she responded by saying, how can this be, Lord? I've known no man. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, a supernatural conception. And I'm telling you, that's what happens to any person who gives their life to the Lord. There is a new birth. Now, I was raised in a secular home, and we dabbled in visiting church every now and then, so I heard enough of the gospel, but I was not really connected with it in heart. It was just sort of a cerebral thing. I sort of went, oh, okay. But when I was a teenager, somebody had a testimony and shared how their life had been changed by Jesus. And I mean, it went like this over my head. It kind of was like, well, I don't relate to that because my life hasn't been changed. And then he even shared scripture with me, so there was a witness of scripture. And then there was this witness that this guy had had an experience with God. But there's something in the book of Acts that says that they bore witness and then the Holy Spirit bore witness about Jesus. And I want to say this to you. The Holy Spirit is that catalytic person that comes in on the scene and causes a new birth to take place in our life. When you give your life to Jesus, biblically, you become a new person on the inside and he births us into the family of God. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit causes a supernatural and interesting thing to take place in a person's heart. When somebody gives their life to Jesus, it's radical. And when you're on the other side of it, it's like, well, I'm glad you found something. You're just kind of religious or whatever. And you're like, well, no, but until somebody has an encounter with this amazing Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus and convicts the world of sin, oh, I failed before God. It's not a guilt trip. It's just God's grace showing us that apart from Him, we're lost. The Holy Spirit is the one that's convicting the world of sin right now. And God's moving on people to convince them and persuade them that no, things aren't just all right. No, not everything is okay. Not do your own thing. The Holy Spirit's dealing with people right now. And He's wanting to reveal to people that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, everything the Holy Spirit does is all to showcase Jesus. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. That's all Jesus was all about. And then when the Holy Spirit came in on the scene, it's all to take from Jesus and to reveal to us. He doesn't do anything in His own initiative, but He reveals things. He's bringing the important focus back onto Jesus. The nations are being impacted by this Holy Spirit right now. In fact, before Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out like this right here. Before Jesus had ascended, the Holy Spirit was just moving on some different ones here and there. But now we see that the Holy Spirit has come. My second point is that He comes to dwell in us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Now some of you think, man, I don't think I'm a candidate for this, man. I'm not a really good Christian. I've been kind of crummy. I don't know, man. Well, here in this chapter, Paul the Apostle starts out telling these Corinthians, hey, you men of the flesh, you infants in Christ, quit being so carnal, quit having jealousy and all this strife and everything. And he's straightening these guys out. But then he goes right down here into verse 16 and says something very telling. He says, do you not know? Now, this is to people who don't necessarily feel like stellar Christians. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is what's so wonderful. This helper who births us then comes to occupy our lives. His Holy Spirit is poured out and wants to live inside of you and live big in you. You are a container, a vessel for God's Spirit and for God's honor. Did you hear that? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. This is not just religion. This is not concept. This is like, whoa, God's gotten a hold of my life and He wants to do something big in and through me. I think it's important that you attach some value to this because we could take this like, oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. But do we really know that? He said, do you not know? I think we could lose sight of this. I think we could get distracted and just kind of get a blasé kind of existence. Or we could realize, wow, when Jesus saved me, He cleaned me out to such a degree that the Holy Spirit can live on the inside of me. He's brought such new life into my spirit. He's made me such a new person on the inside. And He's designed me actually to operate and flow with His Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Another thing. He guides us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says that those who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God has called us to awareness of the advantages of the Holy Spirit. So here we are realizing some things, that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not just power that emanates from God. It's actually a person that is to be worshipped and honored, somebody to be loved, somebody not to be grieved. Yeah, I've been married for over 30 years, and there have been times when I've blessed and complimented my wife, and there have been times, sadly, where I've grieved her. I rather do the blessing and not grieving. And with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So there are ways we could grieve the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit, oh. And you know, grief comes from a feeling of loss. And the Holy Spirit, He's grieved by when we block His flow of things and it creates a sense of loss. Oh, what I could have done through her, what I could have done through him. But they abated it or they blocked it. We've got to keep the blessing blockers out of our lives. That's a whole other message out of Ephesians, but I've identified 18 things out of Ephesians 4 and 5 that grieve the Holy Spirit. Things like bitterness and things that we can do something about. If we really start to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, we start to understand our place of being born of the Spirit and then being temples of the Holy Spirit and then being called to bear the fruit of the Spirit and to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, then we're going to get into a new dimension of commitment. It's going to renew our passions. It's going to get us very interested in the things of God, where we desire earnestly these great dynamic aspects of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because, man, I'm going to send you the helper. And he's the God of all comfort. Here's another one. Not only does he guide us, he comforts us. He is the comforter. Listen, there's so much abrasion in this world. Life has so much harshness to it. Just the terrible hurt of a sudden death, the heartache of downsizing at work, you know, the rearing up, spinning head, vomiting of a teenager talking to you, the kind of things, you know what I'm talking about. Come on. Weird stuff that can happen in life. We need a comforter. And he said, he will not leave us comfortless. The comforter has been poured out. The comforter. And I just want to say something to you. We need to learn that he's the God of all comfort. We need to learn to be understanding about this whole subject of comfort so we could carry this into the hurting situations in people's lives. And I don't mean comforting like you just cushy, make everybody cushy. The Holy Spirit's going to do the convicting and the correcting. And then God's called us to come along in as the God of all comfort wants us to bring peace and strength and comfort into people's situations. I saw a guy in Discovery Channel. He was raising cobras. He put this thing in the cage, it turned around and bit him in the stomach. And I mean, he had minutes to live. There was no anti-venom anywhere. And then the Discovery Channel, as only they could do, showed what was going on inside with all those computer-generated graphics. He was trying to squeeze the poison out. It was actually on video, and he had these two holes in his stomach. And it showed it going in and starting to dissolve his guts and move into his blood supply and melt his bones and, you know, and destroy his brain and everything. And yet when they found a way to neutralize, they did find an anti-venom and they addressed it in time and it stopped all the onset. And then it showed how it reversed that. And I thought about how God knows, his grace knows no end. He can take the acidic, burning weirdness of a terrible circumstance, and the God of all comfort, the power of this Holy Spirit, can come in and neutralize all that acid. It can address all the toxins. There's no problem God cannot solve. There's no difficulty in the range of human experience that God's arm is too short to save. And I'm telling you, he sent his Holy Spirit, and by definition, he's called alongside to help, and he's the God of all comfort. So there are people out there that are on the verge of suicide. There are people out there that are on the verge of blowing out, that God wants to anoint you with the Holy Spirit to carry vital truth. And that as a spiritual paramedic, you go in and absorb the shock out of the situation of other people. Where you take an understanding of that, man, the Holy Spirit in my life is a wonderful counselor. The Holy Spirit in my life has empowered me to be a help to other people in this world. It's really important when we understand how dynamic and how powerful he is and how much advantage we have that the helper's here. It's not one-dimensional. It's multi-dimensional. You start to see, well, I'm born of the Spirit. I've been made alive by God's Spirit. And then he's guiding me. So I actually have the ability to be led by the Spirit. Everyone, every child of God, new Christians, oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. This is so different from just weekend religion or a concept of, well, I believe in the good Lord and just, you know, just I think that's a personal thing. It's private and I just think that you just keep that to yourself. And no, when you see the wide awake, wonderful potential, when Jesus exclaims, it's to your advantage that I go. I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send the guide. I'm going to get you out of the dark. I'm going to hook you up with God's heart and mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says a spiritual person appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. You become an interesting being on earth because you're tapped into the creator of the universe. And during your earthly life, you have spiritual connection with God where you can know the things freely given to you by God. And you're pulled out of darkness and you're called to walk in the light. And he gives you a sensitivity and actually sensitizes you to be able to know the master's voice and to be able to understand the times and even anticipate in a prophetic nature things to come. It's wonderful. And it's all attributed to this Holy Spirit of God who has come to live in us and make us his temple and have his Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And then spiritual things taught in spiritual terms. That's why he said, I would not have you be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts or the things of the Spirit. God does not want us to ignore these things. That's why I want to demystify some of this. The Holy Spirit is not just power that emanates from God. He is a person. He's the person of the Holy Spirit. John, the Apostle John, said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus. But then Paul said in the last verse of 2 Corinthians, last chapter, then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2 talked about if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, there's fellowship. We're to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're not to grieve Him. A being can be grieved. Not some sort of power. Power can't be grieved, but a person can be grieved or can be blessed. I want to bless God's Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to love to be around me. I want the Holy Spirit to well up out of me, as the Bible says, as rivers of living water. And I want to understand and crack the code on this advantage thing. In fact, as a pastor, I want to see everybody under my care realize the fullness of the abundant life that God has planned for each one of us. I want you to get in on the flow. I want you to have signs and wonders follow you, goodness and mercy all around you, breakthrough at work. You're doing your business and you're in your cubicle and you're reading and you're on the computer and all of a sudden, you get something from God. Or you're doing your business and all of a sudden you think about somebody and you call them and why'd you call me? Well, I just had you on my heart. What do you mean you had me on your heart? Who talked to you? Well, nobody talked to me. What do you mean had you on your heart? Well, I was praying. You were praying. What were you praying? Well, how'd you know that? Who talked to you? Some of the greatest encouragement I get in church is people said, man, it's like you were reading my mail. People said, did somebody talk to you about me? No, I don't even know who you are. No offense, but he does. He does. And stuff happens in an atmosphere like this. This is why I love going into an environment where the Word of God's being preached and where the Holy Spirit has free course to be the teacher that leads us and guides us into all the truth. Because I know I'm going to get something pertinent for my specific life. General for my walk with God, specific even for the application of what matters in my life. And this is what's so encouraging and so wonderful, and I think ought to be just a big shout out of this. Because let me dwell on this for 30 more seconds. He helps us in our weaknesses. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Did you ever pray for people and they asked, you gave you a prayer request and then you prayed about that and then you didn't know what else to pray? You know, I have two sons and two daughters and they're all different personalities and I've been around them all their lives and I see some of their aptitudes. I see, you know, different aspects of their lives. So I know how to pray for them. They invite me into their life and talk to me. So I pray specific things. But then there's something, I just don't know how to pray. I just don't know what to pray next. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what all this is all laid out as, but I'm sure glad the Holy Spirit does. I'm sure glad that it's to our advantage that He sent this Holy Spirit. Because if we'll understand this and we'll start to get sensitive to Him and start listening to Him, we're going to hit more than miss. We're going to get huge prayer results. We're going to become sensitive in situations where we don't get easily susceptible to snares, where we're not behind on things. If we'll listen to God, the Bible said He'll show us things to come. Dare we believe that? See, all the fortune telling, all the hocus pocus out there is a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit and what He really had intended for humanity all along. People are trying to figure out, you know, take that eight ball and go, should I go motocross riding? No. We could go down the list on all the subordinate, silly alternatives for this wonderful. You know, when John Lennon was singing, help, I need someone, help. You know, I need someone, not just anyone. The Bible says God has set eternity in our hearts. And there's a cry for this. He said, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? God wants to dwell big in you. Look, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I went to Baptist University. I took some theology classes, and the head of the theology department brought out a book, and we were doing theology study from Gordon Fee. Gordon Fee is a Spirit-filled theologian. This guy said, listen, I don't operate in these gifts, but I believe they still exist and they haven't passed away. And that's pretty noble in a setting like that, a PhD theologian, head of the department, honoring and affirming that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit is available for today. Now, if you don't understand what I just said, the church age has been going on since Jesus rose from the grave and will continue till he returns. What I mean by that is this is a rare and wonderful moment where God's Spirit has been poured out unlike anything of the past. We are the most equipped, advantaged people that have ever happened in the history of humanity, not just because of technology, because of democracy and all the other wonderful things we have, but mainly because of this wonderful advantage of Jesus dying, rising from the dead, and pronouncing mercy and forgiveness that whoever will call on his name will be saved, number one. And then the other advantage is that the helpers come. Jesus was as excited. He was so, the joy set before him, he could see redeeming power going out throughout lost people. People alienated and separated from God would come back and enjoy fellowship with the Father because of what Jesus did. But then what he was so enthusiastic about was, which made him endure the cross at 33 years old in a robust life and lay down his life. He knew that we would be equipped and downloaded with the person of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on all flesh, and that he would empower us to be his witnesses, be clothed with power, that we would have purpose. We would be driven away from foolishness and insecurity and numbness of thought, and we would have the mind of Christ. We would have the Holy Spirit who knows everything. In fact, it says here, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. What this really is saying here is that God gives us this prayer language. You could see in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, that when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, 120 people, Mother Mary was part of it, the apostles and so forth, and the other followers were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem. And Jesus had told them in Luke's gospel, behold, I'm sending you forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. So they gathered, they prayed, and there was a wonderful moment where Acts chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. The advancement and propagation of the gospel has been fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse here where it says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but we pray with groanings too deep for words, is a message about this wonderful prayer. And in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then they went out, and one of the first applications was missionary use, where people from all nations heard the gospel. And then you see largely, though, it's for prayer, and it's for personal strengthening and edification, and we know not how to pray as we ought. Listen, I noticed in my exposure to mentors over the last 30 years, these Spirit-filled dynamos attributed a lot of the breakthrough of their lives to following the subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit, to learning how to connect with Him, praying in the Spirit with that heavenly prayer language. That is neither gibberish nor some sort of crazy thing just for a few. It's a gift for every believer. It's a vital resource, and this verse really reinforces it. He helps us in prayer. I'm telling you, a lot of times I go to prayer, I feel flatline. I feel like the callus on the bottom of my foot at the end of the summer. Just kind of hobbity, 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 hobbity. And people will say to me, Pastor Jeff, will you pray for me? And I say, what about? Well, I'm going through a job deal, or I need healing. So I'll get in there as much as I can. But the best part is when I walk away and I say, Holy Spirit, you know this thing way better than I do. And I pray to prayer. I try not to pray official preacher church prayers because you don't need that. We don't need to patronize each other. We need to pray the prayer of faith. We don't need to sing song our voice or put on affectations. We need to believe God and use faith. But at the end of the day, the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we should. That's what it says. It's not a bad confession. It's the fact. And yet the Holy Spirit is there with these giant muscles saying, hey, man, what do you think I'm here for? Why do you think Jesus said it was to your advantage? You business owners, pray a lot about this. These mentors that I listened to, they attributed so much of the success of their life. And these are the ones that made it all the way through seasons and challenges. Because those are the ones I listen to. You got to watch what you follow. I look at the ones that are still at it, still fresh, current, on fire for God in their 70s, 80s, 90s. I think, that bring it on. That's what I want. And when they trace it back to this wonderful, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Remember the Corinthians, you know, he said, you know, don't you guys know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, these Christians weren't all that great. See, some of you go, well, I know other people might be temple of the Holy Spirit. They're wonderful. I'm not. But the Corinthians were being jerks at this point. They're being hot dogs, all jealous and weird. And he goes, you guys, wait a minute. Don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And then for the Romans, he says, don't you know that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit is available to us to take us into another dimension of prayer? Smile at me at least. Because I'm talking about advantage. It's like I pulled out the gold card and I'm reading the back of the fine print of all the benefits of what God has provided for you here. It's like, oh, that's great. Great. The advantages. I'm a gold card member at a vitamin place. I get a little discount. And they used to just do the first Tuesday of the month. So it's like, oh man, I forgot. You know, I need to take that ginkgo biloba so I'll remember. But I don't want to buy it then because then I'll have to pay full price. But then I forgot because I paid it because then I have to go Tuesday. So finally they expanded it. Everybody say they expanded it. And made it better. God has expanded something with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to my last point. John chapter 7, verse 38-39. He is the source of fruitfulness, this great provision of the Holy Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. There's the fruit of the recreated human spirit. There's a fruitful life. Let me propose to you that when you are born of God, you get changed into a different person. You don't become a religious weirdo. You don't become, oh, you're born again, or you're in some sort of deal. No, you get rightly related to God. Christianity kicks in its logical place. Jesus came to save people. You get saved. Jesus came to empower people. He gives you His Holy Spirit. Jesus came to make us abundantly fruitful. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I'm closing with this. He said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So what apparently is supposed to be present in the life of a believer is an overflow. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So see, something was coming on the horizon. Jesus was pronouncing that was going to be so abundantly beneficial. The Spirit-filled life where you walk into another dimension. You're born of the Spirit and your citizenship is heaven. You were once dead and separated from God and now you're made alive to God. See, I didn't have this presented to me as a child. I heard little snippets of religion, and I found it dismissible and disinteresting. But when I heard this truth about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit testified about Jesus, the message of the Bible and the message of a person's life change, combined with the testimony of the Holy Spirit, he bears witness of Jesus. And he came and brought such radical conviction to me, I felt so mortified of how lost I was. And it wasn't just a guilt trip. I sensed that my need for Jesus, I sensed my need for a Savior. Help, I need someone. Help, not just anyone. Help, you know, I need someone. Help. And I asked Jesus into my life, and the helper, that first wave of salvation came. Then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that He has been so beneficial and helpful to me. During the flood of 93, when they gave us Citizen of the Year awards for our congregation and everything, I knew who the Citizen of the Year was. It was a wonderful Holy Spirit who gave us a prophetic heads up, who downloaded resource, who gave us guidance, who pulled everybody and coalesced everybody together, the proper working of each individual part. It was a miracle of the kingdom. It wasn't just the principles of business and, wow, you're a great leader. It's the head of the church who came in and just overrode the whole weird thing and brought in such clarity and such revelation. That God is who I'm talking about. He is the one that wants to bring abundant rivers of living water flowing out of your life. Talking about the Spirit. Hallelujah. The thing I want to pray is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. For those of you that have grown weary, those of you that need comfort, those of you that need guidance and so forth, I want to tell you, He'll meet all of your needs. And I pray that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. I pray He would strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Right now, with no one moving around, just for this moment, you say, Pastor, I need some strengthening in my walk, in my life, in my world, in areas of my life. I just flat out receive fresh strengthening from the Holy Spirit, His Spirit strengthening my spirit. I need strength, and I'm not afraid to admit it. And right now, as I acknowledge it, I'm receiving strengthening from this life-changing, mighty Holy Spirit. You say, man, agree with me. I'm embracing and receiving strength in every area of my life. If that's you, shoot your hand up. That would be all of us. Receiving strength by His Spirit in the inner man. Put your hands down. You say, man, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not so sure I'm a Christian. I'm not so sure I'm meeting His terms. I'm not so sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven or hell. Because there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to avoid. And Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why He died for our sins. He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I want to just tell you that God's moving on your heart. He wants to take the unsettled confusion out of this and bring you into a strong understanding of knowing for sure that you're right with God on His terms. And the way you do that is by realizing that Jesus is His Son, that He's unique and that He died for our sins, and afterwards He rose from the dead, and that He's the Savior. You say, oh, I've always believed in that. Well, there needs to be a new birth. You say, well, what must I do to be saved? The Bible says that if we confess Jesus as Lord, not that we've been to church here and there or that we sort of believe in Him, but we surrender our lives to Him as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says we'll be saved. Now, no man can save you. We're all guilty. We've all fallen short. The result of sin is eternal separation from God. That's why Jesus died, so He could set us free, so we could know the truth and we could walk with God. God is a wonderful person. God is the most wonderful person in the universe. Jesus didn't make this hard. Jesus made it so simple that children respond. My wife got saved when she was 5 years old, and it's real. Stuck with her. She's an on-fire Christian, man. She's unique. But I want to pray this and just access God and trust Him for some amazing stuff to take place. Amen? Let's pray this. Heavenly Father, I believe in You. The evidence is overwhelming. There is a God. And I know You sent Jesus to die for my sins. The world's crazy and needs a Savior. And I recognize Jesus to be the Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. I open up to You now. Be my Lord and Savior. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, do something that only You can do. Make this my moment. Make this a beginning of change. I trust You to turn things around for me. I surrender myself to You. Because You're risen from the dead, it makes this whole thing supernatural. I'm an eternal being, so even when I die, I'll live. And I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and the power of Your Holy Spirit coming into my life, living big in me. Thank You for the advantages of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now, before we go, I want to pray this. Father, I pray You make us sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be sensitive, neither flaky nor goofy, but real, sharp, clear, accurate, focused on what You're saying in this hour. Help us to have heads up, eyes alert, ears open, hearts receptive to Your voice. Eliminate everything that would grieve You. Help us to walk in a supernatural sincerity with You, God. Jesus. Listen, before we go, I just want to tell you, if you prayed that for the first time, you need to tell somebody. You need to get a hold of one of these. It's called the Bible. It's really, really good. It'll get your mind really strengthened. It'll help you stay plugged into church. And on your way out, just God bless you guys. Just be strong. Go sign up for missions. Go sign up for Easter. And when you go to the restaurant, give them a 20% tip. Keep the economy stimulated. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Peace out.